Hey, I'm Greg Laurie, and welcome to a special edition of Harvest Greg Laurie. We're going to show you what we call a cinematic crusade that we titled A Rush of Hope. Our life is like a movie. It has a beginning, middle, and end. Full of surprises, with twists and turns, storm clouds, and darkness. But beauty and light still exist. We all have questions about this movie that we're in. Is this movie a tragedy? Is it a love story? Is it a comedy, even? Do we win in the end? I'm Greg Laurie, and my story has followed all the plot twists of the greatest movies. We see ourselves in these stories. I'm going to take you on a journey through three incredible movies and hear from some of my favorite artists. So join me as we explore the meaning of life and what happens after we die. We all need a rush of hope. Mass unemployment, a pandemic, social unrest, it seems like hatred is at an all-time high. And you might ask, has it ever been like this before?
The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. Racism, anger, frustration, division, hatred. It's always been with us. So what is the answer? A close parallel to our time was in the late 60s, early 70s. And the epicenter of racial tension was Alabama. Schools were using forced busing. The governor called for segregation. The students and football team of Woodlawn High School, they were at each other's throats. But something unusual happened. God showed up. Not only did it bring the team together, they started winning games too, and a star was born.
Coach, I don't know what your players are playing with, but I've never seen a team play like that.
The coach is very suspicious of his players getting religion, but the more he observed, the more he realized that their lives had been changed by God. Racial divides came down. They were coming together. They were a family. That coach realized it was because of the newfound faith of his football team that this happened.
Can I say a few words, please, sir?
Come on, then.
I wanted to come here today because my team, almost my entire team, they gave themselves to love. A love that began to conquer hatred. But I want whatever my players have. I believe and I want to be baptized.
Ultimately, the whole town was moved, and people prayed together even before football games. A spiritual awakening had started in the epicenter of racial unrest. And guess what? That's what happens when God shows up. We need God to show up in America right now. We need to talk to each other. We need to forgive each other. We need to pray for each other. Our country is at a crossroads, and what we need right now is a rush of hope.
This is for the busted hearts. This is for the question marks. This is for the outcast soul, lost control, no one knows. Sing it for the can't go back. Sing it for the broken past. Sing it for the juice found out. Life is now upside down. If you're looking for hope tonight, raise your hand. Differences. Together we are bolder, braver, stronger.
You know, hope. It seems to be in short supply these days, doesn't it? A famous cardiologist wrote these words, quote, "Hope is the medicine I use more than any other. Hope can cure nearly anything," end quote. Let me ask you a question. Do you find yourself without hope for your life, for your future? It's been said that man can live 40 days without food, about 3 days without water, about 8 minutes without air, but only 1 second without hope. I have hope for the nation. I have hope for our world, and I have hope for you. Let me tell you another story now about a boy who had no hope at all. Young Bart Millard was a dreamer. And so often is the case, he retreated to his imaginary world to escape the one he was born into. But his father, Arthur, was an angry, abusive man. Arthur Millard's personal dreams of being a successful football player had been shattered. And he didn't want young Bart to have any dreams of his own. Add to this the fact that Bart's mother walked out on him. Little Bart Millard was left alone with his abusive father.
Mama? Mama? Where's Mama?
She's gone.
Gone where?
She ran off. She ain't coming back. Just you and me now.
When will she be back?
I told you she run off. She don't want me no more, and she don't want you neither.
What did you do?
Are you bowing up on me, boy?
You hurt her, didn't you? You hurt her like you hurt me!
Hey! Nothing! That's what I did! Nothing!
She didn't leave because of me.
I'm sorry, Mom! What did I do? Take me!
Despite his father's discouragement, Bart never stopped dreaming. He left home and fulfilled his personal aspirations to become a professional musician and formed a successful band called Mercy Me.
Trace your steps to where you were before.
It had been years since Bart had seen his dad, so he decided to return home for a visit. Unbeknownst to Bart, Arthur Miller had his life dramatically changed and was trying to make things right with his son, Bart, and he knew he had hurt so badly.
If God can forgive everybody else, why can't he forgive me?
God can forgive you. I can't. I can't believe I came back here.
Can't you give me a chance?
No! You just gotta give up on that dream, Dad. Because it keeps you from this. From knowing what's real.
As Bart tried to drive away, he suddenly realized what had happened to his dad. Arthur Millard was dying of cancer and wanted to make things right with his son. It was time for Bart to forgive and show some compassion to a broken man.
I was listening, Bart. I was listening to you on the radio. Because he'd sing and I'd listen to every word. And then you'd finish and then I'd listen to what they were talking about there at church. That's what saved me. I was real proud of you. It's real proud. You have a gift. Real gift. You'll chase your dream. And I want you to catch it.
All I ever wanted was my dad to change. I think all I've ever wanted is his approval and just to be proud of me, even as a kid. But you know, it can only be hurt so many times. And so to get in that moment to see change taking place, it was like, I don't buy it. Because just I had my guard up, you know. And I'm not sitting here because of somebody's amazing sermon. I'm here because, like, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt there's no way that my dad could be changed. Like, that was a part of my life that is just, this is the way that it is, and I need to survive. And I know there are people out there that think the same thing. Like, you don't know my situation. There's no way. Like, I've written it off like there's no hope, and that God's never going to intervene. And what's crazy is the moment that he does, you will never, ever, ever be the same. No matter how people try to convince you otherwise, it becomes unwavering. And once I realize that, yes, my father is truly transforming from a monster into the dad and the man that I've always wanted him to become, man, it sunk in a huge way to where it's still the man and father that I want to be when I grow up, I guess.
Bart said, I guess I grew up thinking that if the gospel could change that guy, it could change anybody. There was no denying it. Bart described his story as a rush of hope, and Bart wrote a song about it called I Can Only Imagine.
This is for my dad.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me.
I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. When that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun, I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine, yeah, yeah. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine.
So I have one more story to tell you. This one's a love story. Two young people found each other, and their names were Jeremy and Melissa. Melissa was at a concert when she first laid her eyes on the man she would marry. And it was love at first sight, especially when Jeremy pulled out his guitar and began to sing.
We didn't count suffering.
Melissa knew this is the one for her. And if the story ended here, it would be just perfect, like a fairy tale, and they lived happily ever after.
Ready?
Yeah.
Okay, one, two, three.
But life is not a fairy tale, is it? Tragically, Melissa found out that she had cancer.
one person's life is changed by what I go through, it will all be worth it.
With faith in God, Melissa and Jeremy fought it together, and they believed that God would heal her. But things sadly went from bad to worse.
Help! Somebody help!
Nurse,
somebody help!
Nurse, we're gonna need a wheelchair.
This is doctor right now.
Well, Jeremy, at the age of 21, your wife, Melissa, went to heaven. She died tragically of cancer.
Yeah.
And then years after that, my son, Christopher, died in an automobile accident. It connected us in a different way because, you know, we experienced tragedy firsthand. But the Lord gave you this amazing song, I Still Believe, which has touched people literally around the world. It's an amazing story of how God can work in the midst of tragedy.
Amen.
Jeremy, I know this is hard to talk about, but after Melissa died, you went through a hard time of depression, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, reality was I actually thought for sure she was going to be healed.
I remember I prayed and prayed in this room for Josh to be born healthy. It didn't happen. And you prayed for so long for your ministry. Still nothing.
And so I went through a time of, you know, really, even though I said I still believe, that still was there, but I still questioned, God, are you good? God, do you care about me in that deep, intimate way?
Dad, I begged God to heal Melissa. What am I supposed to do with that?
And so there was times I threw my Bible across the room, times of just being angry and upset. It was reality because I really felt like God let me down.
Are you asking if Josh's disabilities were disappointing? Yes, they are. Did I have big dreams that didn't come true? Sure. Do I understand why Melissa isn't here anymore? No, son, I don't. I'm sorry. But I know my life is full. I feel rich, and I'm proud of this family. Honestly, at the time, I didn't agree with what you did. I didn't understand it. You chose willingly to walk into the fire with her. Right beside her, all the way to the end. But then, that's exactly what I would do for your mom and you boys. That's what love is. And I got to watch my son do that. For his wife. That was a privilege. I don't know the answers to your questions. But I do know this. That my life is not full in spite of the disappointments. It's full because of them.
You know, what's amazing about the Lord is that he's so long-suffering.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't like he was saying, okay, get over it. I'm here. I'll take care of you. He met me where I was.
That's right.
And I felt like that every little step I took, if I didn't feel like I could take a big step, I would take a little baby step.
Yeah, that's
and
like, right.
I got you. And I think that for me, you know, all the promises in God's word became even more real to me. I think about Melissa when she was in the hospital and I walked in for the first time when we found out she had cancer. And she said to me, you know, I've been sitting here thinking that if my life affects one person and one person's life has changed because of what I go through, if I die, it's all worth it.
Mm.
And, you know, when I look at that and I think about how she could say that is because she knew Jesus.
Mm.
And so she knew the assurance that she was going to be in heaven. Mm. So that if
her life can even lead one person to Jesus, it's all worth it.
Have you watched the news lately? It seems like the world is coming apart. War in the Middle East, instability all around us. And I'm telling you right now, the Bible predicted these things would happen in the last days. But here's what you need to remember. Jesus said, when you see these things begin to happen, look up, for your redemption is drawing near. He didn't say freak out, he said look up. I want you to know that I've read the last page of the Bible, and we win in the end. We need hope in this crazy, hopeless world, in this world of chaos and confusion. Jesus Christ has everything you're looking for in a relationship with Him. I encourage you to call out to the Lord and ask Him to come into your life. Let me send you, at no charge, a Bible to help you get started in your new relationship with Christ.
Hey, Greg Laurie here. As you probably know, we are being devastated in this state by a series of fires that are causing incredible damage. Power is out for thousands and thousands of people. People have lost their home. Thousands have been evacuated. Well, this is happening right in our backyard. Many of our people come from LA. We have churches we've helped to plant up in Los Angeles as well. So we've established something called the Harvest Relief Fund. If you would like to support our outreach efforts for those that have been affected by these fires, just go to harvest.org/relief. I'm reminded of the story of Nehemiah, where the walls of Jerusalem were lying in charred rubble. Nehemiah came up with a plan, and they started to build. And that's what's going to happen. Homes are going to be rebuilt, but most importantly, we want to see lives rebuilt. Thank you for anything you can do.